Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. We are in Job chapter 30, verse 1 today. And this is our 15th study in the book of Job. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Job's honor has been turned into contempt. And his prosperity has been turned into calamity. And that's what we're going to read about in this chapter. Verse 1, "But now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdained to put with the dogs of my flock." In that culture, and certainly God himself teaches that it is right to respect our elders. Job's condition led to young people mocking him. In verse 2, "Indeed, what profit is the strength of their hands to me? Their vigor has perished." And what Job is saying is that the good-for-nothings didn't even respect him. 3, "They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness, desolate and waste." The kind of people who were so rotten, and even knew that they were rotten, so rotten that they were ashamed to live with other people, even those people didn't respect Job. Verse 4, "Who pluck mallow by the bushes and broom tree roots for their food," hobos, living in boxcars as it were. That type wouldn't even respect Job. 5, "They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief." The outcast of society, who no one wanted around, they even shunned Job. Verse 6, "They had to live in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks." The kind of people who move in next door and your property value drops. They despised poor Job. Verse 7, "Among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they nestled." They lived in the country like a pack of wolves because no one wanted to be seen with them. Those people, those kinds of people, they looked down on Job. 8, "They were sons of fools." Yes, sons of vile men. "They were scourged from the land." The type who are run out of town. That type. They thought that they were better than Job. This is how low this man has fallen. 9, "And now I am their taunting song. Yes, I am their byword." Those kind of miserable lowlifes mocked Job. They knew they were bad, and yet they felt superior to him. 10, "They abhor me. They keep far from me. They do not hesitate to spit in my face." They abused Job. Job went from the top to the bottom. He went from being respected by the good people to being spit on by the bad people. 11, "Because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me, they have cast off restraint before me." The bad people saw that God took away Job's strength, and so they pounced on him. 12, "At my right hand, the rabble arises. They push away my feet, and they raise against me their ways of destruction." Job says, "They blindside me, those good-for-nothings." 16, And now, my soul is poured out because of my plight. The days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. And so Job was not getting any sleep. By great force, my garment is disfigured. It binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me. Job's prayers were going unanswered. But you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me. And Job is accusing God of injustice, unfairness. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all the living. And so Job went from having an abundance of everything to the place where not even his most basic needs were being met. And Job blames God for it too. And he prayed and prayed for deliverance, but God kept saying no. Actually, everything seemed to go from one level of bad to the next. 24, surely he would not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins if they cry out when he destroys it. Have I not wept for him who was in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? One thing that has Job so frustrated is that he is not reaping what he sowed. Because he never did to anyone the things that are now being done to him. And the unfairness of it all is really getting to Job. 26. But when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. Job had been disappointed so many times that he finally just lost hope. The most dejected people in the world are those who have lost hope. 29. I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. My skin grows black and falls from me. My bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the voice of those who weep. Job didn't have any encouragement for others at all, because he was in despair himself. Any ministry he had had in the past was gone. Job had no hope, so he had no joy. He had no joy, so he had no strength. He had no strength, so he had no ministry. Chapter 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job did not chase women. Job's wife could trust him. He lived a clean life. He had actually promised himself that he would never even commit adultery in his own mind. Verse 2. For what is the allotment of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Job says, guys who do those sorts of things deserve and receive trouble from God. And of course, Job is pointing to others as he says those things. Job can understand disaster coming upon women chasers, but not a guy like him. Job is, in essence, awarding him a spiritual medal of honor for purity, and he is also accusing God of unfairness. Job seems to be forgetting that although he has never committed adultery, he still is a guilty sinner who actually deserves hell. 3. Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? Job knew that God saw everything he did. Job understood that he was accountable to the one who was constantly watching him. 5. If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. Job is bragging about how good he is. He may see himself as a good man when he compares himself to the murderer or the thief or the adulterer, but that doesn't count for anything, really. Before long, Job will find himself in the presence of God before this book is over, and then he will find out just how unholy he really is. 7. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, if I've been impure, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her, for that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of punishment. And what Job was saying here was actually very true. He was a man of high morals. He did not do those sins that many other men commit. However, Job overlooked one very big sin that he was guilty of, and that is the sin of pride. His friends have blasted him unfairly, but he has responded sinfully by bragging about how good he feels he is. 12. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction, and would root out all my increase. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? And there's the accountability thing again. Job feared God, and he did the right thing because he knew that someday he would give an account of himself to God. Verse 15. Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Job believed that all men were created equal. Verse 16. If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it, if I've been selfish, mean to the poor, but from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me. And if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I haven't been generous to the needy, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket. And there he goes again, kind of bragging about all the good things he did. He had been kind, and he had been a good man. But there's some pride in Job, because underneath all of his words, he is saying that he's too good to suffer. And so, of course, God is being unfair in allowing it to happen. 23. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. God's majesty, too much for me to handle, says Job. 24. If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. Job did not trust in riches. 25. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. Job did not worship the heavens. Job enjoyed a lot of good things, but he always worshiped the source of those good things and not those things themselves. He didn't worship money. He used it, he enjoyed it. He enjoyed nature. But he was smart enough to realize that nature wasn't God. God gives us all good things to enjoy. And people get in trouble, however, when those good things consume their thoughts more than the God who provided them. 29. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. Job was not malicious and hateful, even towards those who had hurt him. He did not sin by rejoicing over his enemy's trouble either. 31. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. Job was very hospitable, kind to strangers. 33. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom. He had no secret sins. He confessed them to God. 34. Because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silence and did not go out of the door. All that I had won to hear me. Hear my mark. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money, or caused its owners to lose their lives, Then let thistles grow instead of wheat, and weeds instead of barley. Job has just finished his defense. In essence, he has just finished his closing argument before his friends. And so now all Job can do is wait. All Job's three friends can do is wait. Because Job has challenged God in this chapter. He has challenged God to justify him. Justify himself. He wants God to justify himself in allowing all this disaster. He has challenged God to do that. And so everyone there is waiting to see what God's response will be. Will God strike Job dead on the spot? I guess that would definitely be a guilty verdict. Or would God appear and say, Job, you're right, you're innocent, and your three friends are wrong? We will see. Before this book is over, God will respond. But we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick up our study in verse 32 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.